Hello, welcome to Base Camp for Men. I'm your host, Tony Rizak. This is a show that gives you insights and resources in how to live a more courageous life. We look to assist you on your hero's journey in any way that we can. Truth is our compass, humanity, our tribe. Welcome and let's get started. Hello, Base Campers. I hope you're all doing well. I've been really looking forward to speaking with my guest today. She is a teacher in the area of human consciousness. And man, if there ever was an emerging field of study, this would be it, right? And her journey has some similarities to my own, a lifelong seeker of spiritual truth whose journey has taken her far and wide and arrived all the way back, like my own journey, to the feet of Christ and his teachings. However, we don't oversimplify things today. The conversation has nuance and depth as we cover multidimensionality and what that means for us, the layers of the extraterrestrial phenomena, what that means. And in the end, she and I even share a story each of where we both felt like we were being taken over by a dark entity. In other words, a free-flowing, no-holds-bar discussion about what the heck is happening right now and what are some of the pitfalls that may be awaiting us in our time of awakening. Enjoy the episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Stand Up Now Apparel. Stand Up Now has amazing designs centered on God, family, freedom, and patriotism. They use only the softest cotton in their designs and have gear for the whole family. Something for everyone, Base Campers. I know you're going to love their products. Go support them at www.standupnowapparel.com and use the code BASECAMP to receive a 10% discount and free shipping. And now, on to our interview. My guest today is Lori Ladd. Lori is an author, spiritual teacher, and thought leader specializing in the evolution of human consciousness. Her teachings and guidance have helped millions of people navigate the current planetary shifts, embody sovereignty, and remember the divine design held within the human experience. Here is my interview with Lori Ladd. Okay, I am here with Lori Ladd, author and healer, spiritual teacher, Lori Ladd. Lori, welcome to Base Camp for Men. It's great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I spotted you. I don't even know where. I think I was reading some of your stuff. A guest of mine recommended I check you out, and I did. And I was like, oh my God, she's done so many things and so many things that I resonate with and have done myself, not to your depth, but I was just really excited. I thought, God, we could just do this far, wide-ranging conversation today about a whole bunch of things. But before we really get started, can you just give us a little bit of a background, like where you grew up, and I think the important part too is like, when did you first realize maybe that you were a seeker or that your path was going to be perhaps not conventional? I know you have a little bit of a story around that, but yeah, just give us a little bit of a background and what was like the initial spark that put you on your path that you're on now?
Yeah. Well, thanks again for inviting me. I'm excited to have a conversation and talk to your community here. I was born and raised in Southern California. I grew up at a beach town called Hermosa Beach. Mm. My parents were divorced at the age of six. I lived with my mom after that for the most part. And my mom was very, very awake, aware of all the shenanigans that have occurred on the planet. And so she was sort of my guide in the beginning, teaching me a lot of stuff, giving me all kinds of books. And I started going to workshops, retreats, reading books about everything and anything, the disclosure, the government conspiracies, all of it at the age of 12, 13.
Wow.
And I had all the awareness. Like, it's almost like I was born into this awareness of just sort of understanding that this reality is not the real reality. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to kind of learn it. I just had it in me. It was like I was born to do what I came here to do, and it was always with me. I didn't have to find it. It didn't get activated at some point. Mm. But at the age of, I don't think, maybe 13, I was just walking down the street one day, and I just heard these voices outside of me say, "You're going to help humanity in humanity's shift in consciousness or in the ascension journey on the planet." And way back then, and I think this was like 1989, 88, there was this awareness kind of in the more new age kind of spiritual community that meant that aliens were going to come in, save humanity from the destruction of the planet, and off we'd go, and the planet would be destroyed, and we would be saved. And of course, that's not what's happening. It's we're doing this on the planet through a consciousness shift. And so, but that was like the beginning sort of inception point of really realizing, okay, I'm here to do something. And then spending most of the rest of my life until the age of 44, living a very normal life, not really wanting to commit to that. I didn't really want to change my life. I wanted to just remain sort of unconscious, enjoying I didn't want to know, I knew what was happening, but I didn't want to have to dive into the game and play the battle, like go into battle.
Yep.
I went to graduate school, I got engaged, I broke off the engagement. I had a couple of different relationships, but there was always something that was like, you do realize, Lori, you're ignoring, so that tap just,
there was an elephant in the room that you
there
had
was
to
an address. Elephant. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I something in me one day, I was working at a private equity firm as an executive assistant in San Francisco, and I was taking the ferry over, and, something just came through and said, it's time. And I think it was 2016. So I don't know how old I was. I'm 51 now. So whatever age I was, 2016 or 2015, I said, okay, I'm ready to do it. And it didn't take long after that I think it was about 6 months that I quit my job and started my business, which I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea what I was going to do, but here's what I did know. I had, and I still have, a knowingness inside of me of what's happening. I can teach it without understanding how I know the information. Mm-hmm. I don't read it. I don't research. I don't dive into the topics. I just know it. Mm-hmm. I've always known it. And I've always been able to speak about it. I mean, I remember in high school, oh my goodness gracious, we back in the day, we would get, we'd smoke weed, and I would tell these long stories of like, about how the planet's going to end and we're going to go here and this is what happens and here's how energy works and like just taking people on these like journeys. And I had no idea of how I knew it.
You were that girl. It's like, God, every time we get stoned, Lori starts riffing on the internet.
And she's like the conspiracy theory woman, So that's basically how it was. And then, I've always been in a deep state of trust in life, trust in God.
Yeah.
And I understood how to follow guidance. So once I quit my job and opened up my website and I just started flowing with what I was going to be offering, and it just sort of, unraveled. And, oh my God, it's been, all different, so many different ways that I have amplified my teachings and moved through different reiterations of me as a teacher, of consciousness, of evolution. And I'm arriving now, which in this iteration will shift as well. But I'm in a very different place today than I was in 2016, starting out for sure. But the foundation of my teaching is the same, which is we are all in a quite chaotic but profoundly beautiful shift in our consciousness and our awareness.
What's interesting, Lori, is like you talked about your mom, and I remember like going down these rabbit holes 20 years ago, and you kind of almost kept it to yourself. Like maybe you didn't, but I did. I was like integrating some patterns, and I was reading some kind of wild stuff. It was kind of almost like in the early days of the internet. So there wasn't a ton of stuff there, but you could hit the New Age bookstore and you could find, all kinds of stuff there that would pique your interest. But I didn't really start speaking about all of that esoteric stuff until years later. A little bit like you, I tried to live, I was a healer. I was a body worker in New York. So I was intersecting with alternative health, and that came with a certain kind of teachings and stuff like that.
now it's like I'm watching consensus consciousness, and it's almost like they're not saying the conspiracy theorists were right about almost everything, but they're thinking that. They don't want to say it because we got thrown under the bus. Like, I got thrown under the bus because I didn't take the vaccine and I was outspoken about it and all this different stuff. They don't want to say, whoa, I did not think they were right about so many things. And now I'm even looking at extraterrestrial disclosure and consciousness because they've talked a lot about that. And if that's the next thing they're right about, right? There's this kind of this, I've realized over time, not from an ego standpoint, not from a haha, I was right. None of that stuff. I don't care about that stuff. But I realize now that we were early adopters of a particular way of seeing consciousness as multidimensional. And we were speaking about it. To your point, people were like, you know, rolling their eyes. Some people were attracted to it, but it was an early adoption, almost like an early tech adoption. It was an early consciousness adoption saying, I think it's this and it incorporates Christianity. Everything can be folded in and it works, you know? So it's an interesting time because I feel like the ears and hearts are more than ready than they've ever been in a way because of all the things that happened where they went, I thought they were nuts, but look, they were saying this 5 years ago and it ended up being true. Now they're saying this and that ended up being true. Like, so I don't know what you want to say about that. And we'll talk about courage and stuff like that. But to me, I feel like everything's come full circle for us. And your mom was right. And she was so far ahead of her time, right?
Yeah. It's almost like we're now able, because the shift in consciousness is accelerating. So we're now able to sort of finally look back and say, oh, we can actually see the shift happening. Yeah. Where 20 years ago, it wasn't happening yet in that way. So we couldn't see the shift actually happening. Yeah. Now we're like, oh my God, it's speeding up. So even the last 5 years, we see the shift happening. Yeah. 10 years, we see the shift. 20 years, we see the shift. Mm-hmm. So it's like now we have proof that there is a shift in consciousness happening in a way. And so more and more people are going to realize that they are in an actual energetic movement and shift in consciousness. And so more and more people will jump in and start participating in it. Although there's so many layers to the, to that awareness, right? When you think that humanity has become aware of a certain trap, they fall back into it, you know? So it's a real tricky, interesting place to be in the movement of evolution and consciousness.
We've all grown up inside centralized technology and we've all got a foot in that bear trap. I know I do, out of convenience, but yet there's a whole movement of decentralized movement of building systems that aren't controlled by centralized nodes, basically, for lack of a better way of saying it. We can be fed misinformation really easily from either side. Doesn't matter where you're at on the political scale. Like, we can be fed stuff that makes us think something's happening, especially now with AI and all the bots. They said that there's going to be more bots on the internet in the next couple years than people. And it's like, oh, that's really scary. Like, how are we going to, and they can already do deep fakes. How are we going to know what's real? To your point earlier, we're going to have to learn to discern and trust our hearts and our third eye and trust our higher selves and trust the tribe that's speaking truth, like yourself. Like, trust when Lori says this and it goes against what everybody else is saying on the internet. You got to give it some consideration because we may be sold a whole. We were sold such a bill of goods during COVID. It's like, this is the way everybody thinks about it. It's like, no, they're not. You're just censoring all the people that are questioning it, right?
Yeah.
And so one of the things I wanted to ask you, I know, like, we talk about courage here on Basecamp for Men. It was really started originally kind of like using Joseph Campbell's Hero's Journey as a inspiration. So in my whole take is like, you know, it takes courage to live an extraordinary life, to fulfill your predestiny as a human. You have to get out of your comfort zone. You have to be courageous. And each time you flex your courage in whatever small way, it builds. It's like a muscle at the gym. And suddenly, every version of yourself that's slightly different, you can look back. I know I do, and I'm sure you could say the same thing as you already told us. You can look back 5, 10, 15, 20 years. I'm doing stuff now that there's no way the 25-year-old Tony Rizak would have done. I just did not have, I had to slowly build my courage over time, get out of my comfort zone, expand my comfort zone, to even say yes to somebody saying, hey, we want you to do this podcast. Can you give her a shot? Like back when I was younger, I'd have been like, I don't know. That just sounds like a lot of work. The fear would have talked to me. But by the time I got to be a certain age, I was like, let me give it a whirl. You know, maybe I can do it, you know? And so why is courage so important in this journey for humans?
I think that courage, I think it's necessary to pull ourselves out of the programming because if you think about what programming does, programming keeps us small. It keeps us essentially disconnected from our true nature, our inner voice, our purpose. Programming is what tells us what to do. You know, it's all the systems we live in. Do this, do this. You're going to go to school, then get married, then have children, or this is what success looks like, or this is what happiness looks like. It's like our life is dictated by these systems. And so when we are moving through an evolution in consciousness, it requires courage to not follow the systems and to follow our own inner guidance, our own true north, our compass.
Yep.
And it's very, very difficult. It's excruciating at times. Many times people won't change, which is where courage comes, you know, in order to change and to shift to become more of who we are here to be, it requires courage. But many times change, we have to be pummeled into change.
Yeah.
For instance, COVID, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Or like the addict that won't change until really hitting bottom, like in the hospital kind of stuff. That's like, okay, I'm going to do it now, because there was a lot of whispers all the way, but like, no, I'm good. I think I can keep going with this, you know?
Exactly.
And then, yeah.
Because it's hard.
It is.
But then you look at it, you're like, thank God these things happen, because it catapulted me into dot, dot, dot. Right.
Yeah.
But we won't make that change. I mean, addiction's a whole different topic, but like we typically won't quit our jobs necessarily, even though we know we want to, because we have all this fear. Well, the fear is the illusion. It's the programming. And so it requires courage. It requires discernment. It requires faith. It requires all these things. And also compassion for ourselves, that we're not ready to make that jump, or whatever it may be. But there's every single one of us has this inner compass that's going to guide us back to our true self, our true nature, our divine connection back into our divine spark, our God essence, and God, you know, externally. So we have to have courage. You have to practice it over and over and over. One of the greatest gifts we have.
Yeah. You know, you talked, I have followed the model that you laid out a bit in the divine design, where you talk about our multidimensional selves. And you know, I think my listeners, a lot of them are like, they've gotten their heads around it, been exposed to it somewhat, you know, maybe a book or two, or maybe they've listened to my podcast and a couple others that might be talking about the same sort of thing, you know, and you see a lot of memes online about the planet and its people evolving from a 3D consciousness to a 5D consciousness. And it's like, okay. And then you hear a lot about, you know, these higher dimensional beings that are helping with the pull, let's say, right? You hear names like Pleiadians and Arcturians and all these different like galactic tribes that are sort of in the lexicon of the ET community, let's say, right? But also people that don't subscribe to that, I still think they understand an elevated consciousness. What's a higher frequency thought form? And I always wondered why, to me, it would seem like we would go as a planet and its people, we would go from a 3D to a 4D and then a 5D. Like it would be sequential. And I could never get a really clear answer. They would just be like, it's going from 3 to 5. I'm like, isn't that skipping a step? I don't know. Let me see if I can find the answer. And in your book, you talked about it saying that it's by divine design and that 4D, there's a lot of dark entities in the fourth dimension. And it got, all of a sudden the light bulb went off to me. I was like, of course, you know, we intersect here in this 3D reality with a lot of 4D dark entities. How do I know that? I can see it in a lot of the things and imagery and systems that we look like they've been influenced by the satanic, by the Luciferian, by different, demons in a sense. And it sounds maybe simplistic, but it's very sophisticated. And so it's almost like, are we bypassing the fourth dimension, or are we already intersecting with the fourth dimension, which is why people are struggling with so many things. And really we need to tune in to the fifth dimension messages, beings, higher self, Christ consciousness, all the things that are higher than where we're at here, let's say. But in the middle, there's an intermingling in the fourth dimension. That's my rudimentary explanation, or my basic explanation, after having an aha from your book. But I wanted to let you touch on it a little bit, because I've been looking for a good explanation for that for quite some time.
God, I feel like you answered it literally. So, you know, I was laughing when you were asking that, because I'm currently writing a book, and I'm in the chapter all about the inception of the spiritual battle about 7,000 years ago, and really like the archonic energies coming on in and the demonic energies coming in, and basically you are 100% correct. So in the third dimension, you have to imagine dimensions as fields, almost like think of it as a freeway system, but they run vertical. So you have a freeway system, a freeway system at the very bottom, then you have a freeway system on top of that, laid on top of that, and then you have a freeway system laid on top of that, right? Does that make sense? Three.
Yep.
Okay. So you want to think of dimensions like that, but then you also want to think that they're merged together at the same time. So you could be experiencing the third, the top tier freeway, and also be standing on the bottom tier freeway. Mm-hmm. So they're not separate from each other.
Yep.
Now, when you're standing on one freeway, like let's say the third dimension, you're going to have really unique experiences that you may not find when you kind of pop into a different dimension, right? You pop into 4D, you're going to start experiencing things a little bit different than 3. And you pop into 5, you're going to experience things a little bit different than 3 and 4. What we find right now that we are mostly in the fourth dimension, the entire planet. And it's very, very, very dark. The fourth, you're exactly right. It's very astral. It's very infiltrated. It is full of, energies and entities that are trying to pull us from our natural trajectory. We're in the mess of it, which is why there's so much distraction, which is why there's confusion with AI, which is why there's way more talk now about the aliens and UFOs and ETs, cloning, you name it, right? It's all coming to light. Now, the interesting piece about dimensions 3, 4, and 5 is the fourth dimension has always been here, right? We're now becoming aware of it, which means we're playing in it. So a lot of people are being infiltrated without knowing it. What they think is light is actually dark. And so it can get a little confusing. Third dimension is a little bit more safe in this, but much more numbed out, right? You're not as aware.
Yeah.
You're living in like La La Land, right? Which is where a lot of us were, what, 10 years ago? I say 5 years ago, right?
Yep.
But then you also have this fifth dimensional state of existence, which is much more in alignment with our God-like state, Christed light. Mm-hmm. And so there's all these really beautiful characteristics that you can find in all of these, but they are distinct, they are different, and it is the evolutionary shift in the consciousness, in our consciousness. Consciousness is just how we be, states of being. And so it's almost like, and humanity doesn't understand necessarily what's happening. They don't need to know, right? You don't need to be like, I'm in the fourth, because it doesn't matter. What matters is that you're just aware of, you're becoming more and more sort of aware of what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what the themes are, right? Like the themes 5 years ago were, I would say humanity becoming aware of power and control, lies, deceit, and manipulation, right?
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Now I think we're becoming more aware of distraction, temptation, distortion, like what's mine, what's someone else's. So there's new themes that are arising in this kind of new age of different dimensional states. We can call it all kinds of stuff. I think in the Bible, what do they call it? Like the end times, right? But it's just the shift.
One thing I've noticed, and I'd be interested to get your thoughts. Like I've noticed for myself, I try to be aware of the way I use language on the show and in my personal life. But I've also noticed that like, I'm more discerning about, I'm like, I really want to do my part to raise my own vibration, to be connected to Christ, to be connected to my higher self, to even my taste in music has gotten, I gravitate towards more beautiful music rather than, I'm a rock and roll guy, like heavy metal. Like when I was younger, I was like, Black Sabbath, like all that stuff. I loved that dark, like, minor chord, Now I'm like, I don't know. It seems like there's some things attached to that. Maybe I'll listen to Mozart or Beethoven or, some beautiful piano music, because I feel like the thought patterns and the feeling field, it moves me up an octave. And I'm like, this is better. This comes with a better set of things. Like, I'm not trying to escape 4D. I just don't want to help them. You know what I mean? So,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm part of the totally. Light, the family of light. I'm here to elevate. So that means elevate even when no one's looking. And so that's kind of where I'm at lately, is like quietly, let me see if I can do my part to help spread the higher vibrational tools and resources, because I'm using them myself and I feel like it's, it irritates the dark entities. And so I'm like, okay, this is a war you set up. So, So
anyway. Totally. I think that's important. I don't think it's, essentially we can't bypass that. That's like, that's like you trying to go from A to C. I mean, going from one road, you get on the freeway and you're like, I'm going to bypass this freeway. It's like, you can't. You're on the freeway. So you can't actually bypass the fourth dimension, but you can have tools, right? And be well equipped in navigating it. And so, what you offer and what other people are offering people right now, is the ability to sort of understand, well, what music am I listening to? What is it doing to my body? Why is my nervous system so out of whack? What's happening to my mind? Are these actually my thoughts, or are these thoughts that are maybe infiltrated? It's the wild, wild west right now. And I think there needs to be more conversation around what this new territory is that we have sort of stepped into, and how to get rid of it. But you're right, the frequency in our body is shifting, and so our desires change, what feels good changes, who we want to be around changes. It's all natural. You're not saying to yourself, like, I'm now going to change my music taste, right? Like it just arises because the body is increasing in frequency, which is the planet.
One thing I've noticed recently, I have a 19-year-old son, and I've noticed this in him and his friends, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it, is I'm seeing like this nihilism of, nothing is working out. Everything is shit. I'm never going to be able to buy a house. I'm never like this, almost with no hope, you know? And I'm like, you know, I go out to brunch with my son and we have one-on-ones and stuff. And I'm, you know, I just feel like hope and the light, it's like a superpower, but you have to claim it. Like you can't be lazy. And he's only 19. When I was 19, I was not a bright light at that age either, but my point is, like, I think in this fourth dimension that we intersect with or that is running certain systems, there's this narrative for the young people on their feeds, whether that's TikTok or Snap or whatever they're using, that says, you know, there's not a lot of good waiting 5, 10, 15 years down the road for my generation. And I'm like, oh my God, you've gotta flex your own ability to connect with God and to find your path and to, you know, and also I want to give him his space to be in his dark night of the soul, even if it's at 19 and not, you know, it's not up to me. I had to deal with my own demons at that age and beyond. So it's like, I'm not trying to fix it for him, but I just noticed, whoa, they don't think anything good's coming. That's like, oh my God. So yeah.
Wow. I mean, I had no idea. I don't have kids. So I don't know what, I can't imagine what children and adolescents and, you know, even people in their 20s, you know, adults in their 20s, I can't imagine what life must be like right now, because
you can understand why they think that, right?
100%.
It's easy to program them that way. Yeah,
very, very much so. And there's also just frequency battles. So there's frequencies emitted that impact our brains, they impact our minds, they impact our thoughts. And, you know, the worst that these devices are very, very, very detrimental to our state of mind. And, you know, he's being programmed, right? You can see it. He's being programmed. And so, you know, you obviously have to let him navigate this, but
the other thing that's scary to me, you mentioned smoking weed when we were younger, and you and I both did that. It has gotten so much stronger. Like the weed is like 80% THC. My son and his friends, they like that stuff, you know. And I'm like,
oh man,
what the heck is this supercharged cannabis doing to their brains? Like, you know, it was strong at 20%, and now it's 80%. It's like 4x what you and I had to deal with. And I'm like, man, oh man, it's going to cause some thought patterns to come in. It's going to cause some, you know, it's going to create some openings, let's say. You know what I mean?
Well, think about it. I mean, we're talking about being in the fourth dimension. The astral realm is in there. Yeah. You know, all kinds of stuff flies around. And one of the ways that it comes in is through drugs and alcohol, right? Like really quickly, really easily. I remember the last time that I never really liked smoking weed because I would be super paranoid. I hated it, but so I would rarely smoked it except in high school, telling the stories. But the last time I smoked it was in 2021. I was visiting a friend, and he was like, "Just take a hit of this, right? This joint," and I was like, all right. I took one. I'm not joking. I took one hit. Okay. I was legit so high for at least 12 hours. But here's the interesting piece. Speaking of the astral realm, I kept going into the astral realm. I kept going into demonic air. I kept feeling demonic energies. I was interacting with demonic energies. I felt this realm around me. And it was like, oh my God, like this is here. The moment people, not everyone, and it's not a bad thing, but you are opening to things more easily when you do that. And, you know, it's not like, it's just, I was told this about weed maybe 7-8 months ago. Like, I get that people smoke it for the medicinal reasons to go to sleep and reduce anxiety, but I was shown that it's a really big tool to numb people right now, like to really get them robotic. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I do.
Yeah.
My friend Janelle says weed is a terrible girlfriend. You know, it's just like it just keeps you safe and just in the womb and don't leave the bedroom and don't really get out of your comfort zone. Don't be, you know, it's so demotivating. You're just like, let's get some food and hang out and watch videos. Like it's like that. And it's like, ugh, you know, it's, I think there's a lot going on that you said there about opening up. You're sensitive to it, but you're, you know, when you smoke it's like a portal opens up, you know,
yeah.
Oh, good. You're going to torch up this weed that, that I like to get a door use as a doorway.
You totally.
Know, I wanted to shift. You're one of the only people, like, I just don't get to talk to very many people that have done like work in the galactic field, you know, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I remember when I was younger, I read Bringers of the Dawn by Barbara Marciniak, which was all mm-hmm. about, she was a Pleiadian channel. And I just remember, I've got a good nose for truthful resonance. And I just remember going, God, this book is just resonating with so many levels. And I became a big follower in my own way, without being super public about it, around ET races. You know, I read David Icke's books and, you know, mm-hmm. I started seeing, oh, there's probably a lot more going on than we anticipate out there. There's a lot more life out there than they've let us know. The deception runs even into space. You know, they've not told us the truth about a lot of things. And I started to have my own kind of telepathy and channeling in that area that confirmed it for me. And, you know, I did some episodes and I had some people on and, you know, the Christians always bristle at talk of galactics. And I never understood why. I never, like my brother goes, you know, if what you're saying is true, it kills religion. It kills the whole, I'm like, I don't understand. I think it would be a knock on it, but I'm not saying everything I'm saying about galactic is another lens to see consciousness. So you could use 3D, 5D, you could use even Christianity has its lens for consciousness. Eastern wisdom traditions do, some of the esoteric, mm-hmm. this is the galactic, mm-hmm. the galactic perspective to me was always like, here's another way of seeing patterns that you've already sensed in yourself and seen in the greater cosmos. Like this is another way. And yes, we're trying to prepare you because we don't want everybody to be shocked when they're like, oh yeah, there's like all kinds of life. In fact, there's spaceships all over the place with beings on them. And, but I think some of my Christian friends are like, nope, it's just Jesus. There's nothing else. And I never understood why it had to be one or the other when it seems like the galactic perspective includes all of it and integrates it in my feeling, you know? And so I've become more bold about speaking matter-of-factly like we are right now than I was even 5-10 years ago, where I was like, I don't want to be talking about Pleiadians. My dad's listening to the show, you know? Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, no, he's heard a few episodes, so I can just, mm-hmm. I can talk matter-of-factly with Lori about it and get her perspective. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 You know, it's a really fascinating conversation we could do. We could talk hours just on this topic and this question, because it's really layered and juicy and extremely important. And I came from the very new age space. So I've channeled galactic beings. I've channeled all kinds of angels. And I was a channeler. I didn't know I was, but I started channeling it in 2015. It just was what I am capable of doing. And I never thought anything of it. A couple of years ago, so I used to always, especially during COVID, I would go up to these galactic ships and I would sit in the ship, and not physically, but etherically, and I would hang out with these galactic ambassadors and learn and write the book that I wrote, and everything was fine. And about 3 years ago, around 2023, slowly but surely that started to fade. And they just almost like they went away. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that's interesting. And then I remember I would try to sit and do what I normally do. And I couldn't really go up to the ship. Mm-hmm. It was very, very interesting. And so I thought, okay, well, that's fine. And then I started talking to Jesus, and I was like, I'm curious about you. What's going on? Like, I'd love to learn from you. And I just got more curious about Jesus. Anyway, fast forward. And you know, my summation of all of this right now with regards to the galactics and the Christian way of seeing things is, the galactics have always been here. They will always be here. They're part of the journey of our evolution in consciousness. And for the majority, they're not benevolent. They're benevolent beings.
Yep.
But if you remember, we are now in more of a fourth dimension.
Yeah.
And so what's happening now is it's becoming extremely, one needs to be extremely careful when they channel, because we're now in a fourth dimensional astral plane. We're not in the third dimension. Okay. So it's very different. If you're in the third dimension, you open up astrally, or you open up, you can actually bypass the fourth dimension. But if you're in the fourth dimension, you're
going to welcome in something else, right?
You have a higher probability of not channeling the pure essence.
Yeah.
And so what the Christian kind of awareness, I'm not completely versed in all of what they believe, but from my, you know, a couple of years of just being with Jesus, my understanding is that if you don't go straight to the source, right, you are playing with, you know, what's the analogy, you know, you're playing with danger. And so they're sort of encompassing all darkness or demonic energies or anything other than God as bad. And that's not the case with galactic energies, but I do understand their point, in the sense that if you aren't careful and you don't have discernment, you could be playing with things that are going to pull you even further from God. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So there, it's a really interesting conversation and place that humanity's at that they've never been at before, because it's really convoluted. And I will share personally what Jesus did show to me a year ago is he told me to stop channeling. Now I do channel once a month in my community, but he told me to be very careful channeling right now, especially galactic beings, he said, because there's a lot of infiltration in these channels. And so I've just become curious around that. And I'm kind of currently like in the journey of really exploring more of like, well, what does that mean and what's happening? And so there's, it's almost like, you know, they both exist, right? The galactics exist and they're helping humanity shift. And there's also darkness that's taken humanity down before and can do it again.
Yeah.
And so it's infiltrating, it's playing in the game as well.
What do you think of the whole law of one that basically says, you know, soul groups, and law of one acknowledges galactics as well. And it basically says, look, there's soul groups, and you commit to kind of mission work, for lack of a better way of saying it. And law of one kind of says, like, look, just because there's dark entities, they're here to help you move towards the light. Like, they're really here. The adversary is even here to help elevate you, because otherwise you guys don't do anything. Like, you just, like, there's no impetus to move towards God. The dark forces and the soul groups that come here, the service to self groups come here. And I've named some of the people, right? Like, I'm fond of naming certain psychopaths that run certain things, right? But they're not really, according to Law of One, they're like, they're not really your enemy. They are here to help you, but they play a specific role. You need to think that it is crucial, life and death, soul journey, or you won't do anything. It has to be so urgent. The spiritual war has to be so in your face, so you make choices and reach for one or the other. And that is what gets the whole planet to where it needs to go, which what you and I have been talking about is a fifth dimensional planet. It only gets there according to law of one at harvest, and harvest is done in times like ours where there's like the darkness is really intense and the light is really intense and people are switching from dark to light. And it just seems like we're all biting our fingers and like, oh my God, what's going to happen next? We need that kind of movie and that kind of hologram and that kind of engagement. Otherwise, a lot of humanity sits on its ass and really doesn't do anything. And I'm like, huh, interesting point. You know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know how that resonates.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't even say that we need it. I would just say that it's happening because the evolutionary shift is naturally going to show us what we are in, and what we are in is both light and dark. They're both existing, and the dark, which is just a different frequency of light that we call dark, right? And it's experienced differently than the pure light of God, of Creator. But we have to see what we're in. So it serves a purpose in the sense that it's showing us that we are currently living quite separately from our divine nature, our divine alignment with God. We're not separate from God, and we're an aspect of it, but we are living in and the illusion of separation, and the external world is what gives us everything we need, and you know, dot, all the other stuff that we live in right now. And so the dark is necessary because we're in it.
Yeah.
We have to see it. We have to understand it. We have to have the courage to face it. We have to have the courage to choose the organic path, right? So it's like, yeah, not the inorganic, which is what they want us to choose, which is separation from God. Mm-hmm. And so it's like all these temptations and everything that feels good. And so, yeah, I mean, it is all one. Everything is a fractal of God, everything. And so it just becomes, what are we in right now? And how are we experiencing this? And what does a kind of like pure God consciousness feel like? And am I experiencing that? And is that in my everyday life? And, you know, trying to like really bring it back to a tangible way of understanding light and dark. I always like to use the analogy of like, well, what would God feel like? Whatever God is to you, right? Like, what would it feel like in this moment or in this conversation or in this decision? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you mentioned something about, you and I both live, you live in the Bay Area, north of the Bay Area. I live in Seattle. We live in land of large old growth trees, big trees everywhere. And you mentioned something in your book about trees being connected or fifth dimensional beings. And I was like, that's a great way of saying that. Because when I go out and hike, it's not that the trees are pretty. I feel like I'm getting information from the trees. Like I almost don't want to leave. I just want to lean up against a tree and just like let it like permeate my experience. They're so beautiful, but they seem so wise. They've seen so many cycles, and I just feel like my thoughts and my feelings are different when I'm out in the forest, and it just has this immense healing impact for me. And it goes beyond just like appreciation of nature. I think it's more mystical than that for me. And I think you were touching on it in your book, but I wanted to give you a chance to talk about that a little bit. Just your experience with trees as kind of higher dimensional beings.
Yeah, like they have a consciousness in them that holds or reflects that fifth dimensional state. So it's almost like a reminder to us of our divine nature and of how we are designed to be. So when we're with trees, it's like, oh, this feels so good, right? Yeah. Like, and also just being in nature, it's like, oh my God, this feels so good. But they are literally their physical body is literally holding, sorry, my brother's dog just ran into my office. They're literally holding a consciousness in them that is vibrating in that fifth dimensional state. So what that means is that it's easy for us to feel it. It's easy for us to connect to it. It's It's almost like you can, like you said, you can hear them, you know, like somebody's inside that tree. But that's a fifth dimensional being in there, even though it's not a physical being, you know?
Yeah.
It's fascinating. And there's other, like, you know, like, if you connect with dolphins or whales, they hold fifth dimensional consciousness. So if you're swimming with them, or you look them in the eye, they're talking to you, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's different, fifth dimensional, different beings that are holding fifth dimensional consciousness on the planet right now for us, all for it to be a reflection of where we're moving, what we're moving into.
That's beautiful. You know, you and I have both traveled a somewhat similar circle, in that I was born in my father's a devout Catholic. So I grew up there. And then when I went off to university and went to live in New York City and all these different things, you know, I became a seeker, and I really studied comparative religion. So I was really interested in Eastern wisdom traditions, meditation, all of the different mystics, and saints and ascended masters and all these different things. It's not that I was minimizing Christ or Jesus. I was just looking to see what else was out there that was teaching the soul about its journey, or teaching the spirit. And I found a lot, right? And then, but now, as a 59-year-old, I find myself the past 5-6 years suddenly surrounded by a lot of Christians, a lot of people that talk about Jesus, and a lot of people that pray instead of do meditation. And I've come full circle. My wife recently got baptized, and I see that you have a Walking with Jesus workshop. So I recognize in your journey a little of my own coming full circle. It's not that I threw out the things that I learned from those times when I was younger, but there seems to be a returning to Christ and Christ's teaching for a group that I know that has done a lot of work spiritually, let's say. And so how come Jesus now for you? What did that look like? When did you start to really go, hey, it's more this why now, I guess, is my question.
Yeah, I mean, it's such an interesting time, because that kind of Christed awareness is sweeping the planet. And it's such, again, talking about like the evolution and looking back and looking at where we are now, you can see that there's something happening, right? Like, more people are talking about Jesus. And so there's a shift in our consciousness, and we're beginning to open up to what Jesus was actually presenting on the planet when he was here. Which is our Christed light, which is, you know, God in form, or God-like in form. Mm-hmm. But I was never religious. I never went to church. I never read the Bible. I didn't understand. I knew who Jesus was, but I never, none of that. And then a couple of years ago, when I wasn't really tapping into the galactics anymore, I was just like, you know, I think I'd really love to learn from Jesus. I felt like he was the best example of living godlike in human form. Mm-hmm. And so I just sort of started connecting to him and asking him to come in and teach me. And that really turned my life upside down. It was a couple of years ago, June of 2023, when I started to invite him in. I knew nothing about his teachings in the Bible. I knew nothing about the New Testament, the Gospels. I never read any of it. I just started talking to him. I started building a relationship with him. And it started building, and I started learning from him. And, you know, I reached out a little bit to the religious community, and I started feeling into that and reading the Bible a little bit and just trying to figure out what my resonance was with all of it.
Yep.
Because it was, there are things that don't resonate with me when it comes to certain beliefs. Mm-hmm. And then there are a handful that do. And so I'm always just going straight to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I'm always going back to a relationship with him. And there's been so many miracles that it's blown my mind. I mean, I could talk about this for hours and hours, mm-hmm. about what he's done in my life. But he's changed my life significantly. He's healed me in ways that I never imagined being healed. He has created a life for me that I never imagined, just not because I have things, but I am happier more joyful, more open, more receptive, more forgiving, more loving, more compassionate than I've ever been in my entire life. Mm-hmm. And he's showed me God. Mm-hmm. He walked me Good. Straight to God, and he showed me how to invite God into my life. I always thought I was God, right? Like, no, I'm God. I've got everything I need inside of me. I don't need to go search for the God outside of me.
Yep.
And he said, I want you to invite God into your life. And I'm like, or God into your body right now. I had this demonic attack in my house, and which I didn't believe in demons until I met Jesus.
Yeah.
I was like, demons don't exist. And then all of a sudden I gave my life to Jesus and God. I was like, I'm going to give you guys my whole life. Let's do this. And that night I got attacked demonically so bad that I had to go to the ER, the emergency
room.
Yeah. It was a really bad demonic attack. Like, so that night he said, when I came home, he said, call the light of God in. And I was so desperate, you know, I was so scared and so desperate that I called the light of God in. And that's when I really understood the difference between I am God and God.
How did you know, it was a demonic attack? Like what had you label it that, you know?
Oh my God. I mean, I think if you're attacked by demons, you know.
Yeah. I would think so.
So what happened was, it was like, I was laying in my bed. I'd fallen asleep. My computer screen had been open because I had been watching something on my computer laying in bed. And it was like 3 a.m. I heard these, I opened my eyes and I looked at my computer screen and I heard these voices and I was like, what are these voices doing? And, I thought it was the computer, the TV or something on the, like, I thought it was the TV show, right?
Yeah.
And but it was like taunting voices, like talking to me.
Mm.
And then I, like, even talking about it makes me sick to my stomach. But then I closed the computer screen and I still heard the voices. And at first it was like they were still coming from the computer screen, but then they were just coming into my mind. Like, yeah. Then they were in my head. Like,
they breached the barrier.
Yeah. And they were taking up space and I couldn't get them out. And it was I swear to God, it was the scariest thing I'd ever felt in my entire life, because something had just entered into my mind. It wasn't just thoughts.
Yeah.
Literally something was in my mind and it had taken over my mind. It had taken over me. And I remember, like, I jumped out of bed. I bumped my head on my door. I didn't know what to do. I called 911. I had the ability to at least do that, because I don't know what I would have done. Like,
What'd you tell 911?
I don't even remember. Like, I think I was in like such an altered state, but I think I said something like, I'm going out of my mind. There's demons in my mind. Okay. Like, I think I was pretty clear with what, I'm sure they thought I was literally crazy.
Sure. Yeah.
And then even when the guys came, they thought I was crazy, but I wasn't in my right mind when they were there. Mm. The demons were still in my head. So they took me to the hospital because they didn't know what to do with me.
Yeah.
But I knew it wasn't thoughts like that I have. And I knew it was demonic because it was taunting. It was the scariest thing.
I had a not dissimilar experience in that I had, I think it was 6 or 7 years ago, maybe 8 years ago, I got shingles. And for anybody that's had shingles, it's so stinking painful. And they gave me a particular drug. It wasn't an opioid, but it was something that they give people that get shingles. And they say, hey, take this every day. It'll help manage the pain and stuff. So I was taking it, and I noticed, and I had unbelievable pain for like 5 weeks. It took a long time to get through my system. Now I know, you know, I would handle it a lot differently. But the reason I'm saying this is I noticed right before I stopped taking this pill, I was on the couch and I was like, all of a sudden I got chills and I was like, you're not thinking these thoughts that you're thinking, they're not yours. This pill has a particular kind of thing that it comes with. Like, I was thinking dark, dark, dark thoughts, not like myself at all. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to say suicidal, but in that niche, in that realm where I'm like, what in the hell's going on? This isn't like me at all. I know this is going to pass. Why am I thinking, what is going on? And then I'm like, you got to stop taking that shit, dude. Right. Whoa. Like, and as soon as I stop, then all of a sudden I was like, oh, there I am again. God, that was scary. You know what
Whoa.
I mean? Yeah. Yeah. I told my wife, I go, you know, I heard your mother, your late mother, come to me on the couch and say, Tony, you got to get off this. It's and I was like, what the hell's going on with my thinking? Why am I thinking these thoughts? And then her mom came to me, who I was really close with. She goes, you got to stop taking it. Just get off it. It's not, it's taking you down a really bad path. It's like, whoa, okay. Whoa. Yeah.
That's gnarly. That's it so is. Crazy.
I know. I know it's crazy. So, but you've got another book coming out. I can't wait. We're going to hopefully do another show when that gets going, because that's going to be a whole bunch of stuff. But
yes,
we got to get this horse in the barn for now. So where can our listeners find you? Where is your base of operation in terms of a website? What programs would you like our listeners to know about? I know you got a Walk with Jesus one, but some other stuff. So what do you got going on for our listeners where they might want to click, find you, and work with you?
Yeah, thank you. So you can find me, Lori, if you just search Lori Ladd, LORIELADD, you can find my website. I'm on YouTube. I have a weekly show that I do on YouTube. And again, that's just Lori Ladd. Instagram, where I post, which is Lori_Ladd. And I've been focusing a lot on, connecting straight to Creator, to God. I do these really powerful 40-day classes where we connect straight into God and we invite God in to our lives and into our bodies. And then just doing classes with Jesus. And I just did a 4-day class about the spiritual battle and infiltrated thoughts. And so I'm really focusing right now on really understanding the spiritual battle that we're in and how to navigate it, how to connect back into our divinity and God within and God outside of us. Mm-hmm. And so I can't wait to come back with my book and share with you and your audience.
I know. Well, thank you so much, Lori. You're just a delight to talk to. I feel like we could sit around the campfire for hours on end talking about all the stuff we love to talk about and unpack. But thanks so much for taking time, sharing your insight, your wisdom with our listeners. I know they're going to love this episode, and go check her out. I'll give all the links and stuff in the show notes and in the outro. So thank you again, Lori. I really appreciate you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. Lori is a true leader in the human awakening and making sense of the multidimensional field that we find ourselves in. And you can find her at www.loriladd.com. Thank you, Base Campers, and we'll see you around the fire next week. If you find value in our show and wish to show us some love, we are now making that very easy to do. You simply go to www.basecampformen.com and click on Donate Support Basecamp. You'll find an easy way to make either monthly donations for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate just once. We love the monthly donation and hope to build this up over the coming months, but any show of support is greatly appreciated, honestly. Thank you for your support and for helping to keep Basecamp as a resource on your hero's journey. That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. Men, good luck in all your endeavors, and good luck on your hero's journey. This is Tony Rezac, and you're listening to Base Camp for Men.